Morning, church. Glad you're here today. You folks okay? Is she? Okay. All right. I know we've got several sick this morning, so we are glad that you are not and that you are here so that we may together raise a joyful noise. I want to start this morning in Daniel chapter 6. Last week we talked about fear, and today we're going to talk about the solution to fear. And I've been running around with Daniel all week, and I've been kind of going through his story and thinking about what he went through and how he showed his faith and the way in which God delivered him. And from Daniel chapter 6, one of the things that Daniel had to go through was, of course, maybe the most popular thing that he had to go through, the most famous, was when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Now, there's a new king in town, and everybody that is a manager, like Daniel, was not a fan of Daniel, and they thought the only way we can get rid of this guy was to get him in trouble for his faith. So they go to the king, and they say, "King, you should make a rule." The new king says, "Well, okay, we'll make a rule." And in Daniel chapter 6, and the rule was, if anybody prays to anyone but the king, they should die. Daniel 6, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. An amazing example of faith and courage. The law comes down that says you can't do this, and Daniel does it. Well, the king tries to get him out, and he can't. Everybody holds his feet to the fire, and so reluctantly, the king has to put Daniel into the lion's den. He leaves him there all night long. And in morning, the king is kind of anxious. And he goes and he says, "Take the stone away, open the door, I want to see." Because Daniel trusted in his God. And I want to see what happened. So in verse 19, at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. The solution to fear is courage, faith, and strength. Knowing that what God has told us to do, what makes for life, is more powerful and more important than anything else. So may we be strong and of good courage. May we faithfully and bravely lift up our voices and our hearts to God today. And may we live and walk in his steps each and every day. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here together. We pray, Father, that our worship is pleasing in your sight. We thank you for making us a part of your body. We thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit so that we are never alone. We thank you, Father, for providing for us a sacrifice, your Son, who took the pain, the suffering, the shame of all of our sins upon himself. Father, we thank you for accepting his life in place of ours. Our faith and our confession are in Jesus. We believe that what he did was good enough for us. And we thank you for saving us. Our Father in heaven, we give you our lives. We give you our faith and our trust. We give you our successes and our failures. We trust you with forgiveness, and we trust you with righteousness. We confess that you alone are God, that you deliver, that you watch over us, that you are above all others. So we give you our worship and praise. We give you our hearts and our lives. We pray, Father, that you allow us to live in peace. We pray, Father, that you allow us to be faithful, to be strong, and to be gentle. May your name be forever glorified in your church, in our hearts, and in your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Glorify thy name. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Get your songbooks in number 38. 38. Awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Now we go. I stand in awe. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe. So good. This will be our song before prayer. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's too
turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This section is entitled, and in my Bible, "The Day of the Lord Will Come." Praise God for that. Amen. "This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of remember, that you should remember that the..." Technology's not liking me today, sorry. "That you should remember that the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was unformed with water and perished. But by the same word of heavens, the earth that now exists are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather this morning to be with one another, and Lord, to be in your presence. Lord, we look to a world that always looks to other means, other gods, always focused in other directions other than you, Lord. And we just pray that we keep our minds and our eyes fixed on you, that our hearts are handed over to you, that we know that you sent your Son, that he was the ultimate sacrifice, and that we have forgiveness and eternal life with you through that. And nothing else on this earth, nothing else matters. You've charged us with this good news, Lord, and we, as so many others, allow it to just sit off to the side and be overtaken by the cares of the world, by our day-to-day lives. We just ask that you help us to not allow that any longer, to put away fear of the smirks or the rude remarks or the loss of relationships or whatever is holding us back from sharing your gospel. To not be ashamed of it. To not be ashamed to open up our mouths and speak of you and what you have done. To speak of your Son. We don't have much time, Lord. You know this so much more than we do. We are so thankful that you remain patient with us and patient with those that are lost. Lord, we pray that you be with us this morning, that you speak through Michael, that his words will be your words. May we carry that with us, not just the rest of the day, but may we awake every day focused on you, coming to you, asking you, what is it you have for us today? What can we do to serve you today, to not serve ourselves or others or the cares of this world, but to serve your will? It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
I'd like to read from Philippians chapter 2. This is a bit of a paraphrase, so you may disagree with the wording, but it brings out kind of a devotional thoughts that I'd like for us to look at. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Think about what we have in Christ, the encouragement he has brought us, the comfort of his love, our sharing in his spirit, and the mercy and kindness he has shown us. If you enjoy these blessings, then do what will make my joy complete. Agree with each other and show your love for each other. Be united in your goals and in the way you think. In whatever you do, don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Be humble and honor others more than yourselves. Don't be interested only in your own life, but care about the lives of others too. In your life together, think the way Christ Jesus thought. He was like God in every way, but he did not think that his being equal with God was something to use for his own benefit. Instead, he gave up everything, even his place with God. He accepted the role of a servant, appearing in human form. During his life as a man, he humbled himself by being fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death on a cross. So God raised him up to the most important place and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. God did this so that every person will bow down to honor the name of Jesus. Everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow. They will all confess Jesus Christ is Lord, and this will bring glory to God the Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for his humility and giving up his place with you and being made man and living life among us. We thank you that he gave his life on the cross on our behalf. We thank you that he took bread and broke it and gave it to us to eat in remembrance of what he has done for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this cup of thanksgiving. We are thankful for the blessings that it brings to us. We are thankful for the covenant that it represents in the blood of your Son and our Savior Jesus. In his name, amen. There is a collection plate in the foyer if you wish to support the work of this church. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the salvation that you've given us through your Son, and we're thankful for all the other blessings that you have given to us. We are mindful that all we have and all we are come from you, and we pray that we will always live lives of thanksgiving. In your Son, we pray. Amen.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might.
There is a God.
There is a God. He is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is a God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word.
There is a God.
There is a God. He is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find. For God alone does understand.
There is a God.
He is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. On a tree, a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free, and evermore with him could live.
There is a God,
there is a God. He is alive. In him we live,
alive.
I'm glad you were able to make it today. Probably a day or two into last week, you weren't really sure. We've got some that are sick this week, but we are grateful to be here and just be able to sing these wonderful songs of praise. Just be able to lift God up and have our hearts reminded of His glory. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we will get into the Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for allowing us to draw near through the blood of Jesus. Father, You are everything to us. You provide everything that we need. You have given so much of Yourself, and You have satisfied us. And we pray, Father, that as Your children in this world, we will not forget whose name we have been given. Father, I pray that each and every day You give us the strength and the faith to live as Your children, to trust You in all things, to live fearless no matter what's in front of us. Father, You have forgiven our sins so that what is behind us is no longer a threat. You are securing for us an eternal home with You, so whatever is in front of us is no longer a threat. Father, You have filled us with Your very own Spirit. We love You. We praise You. We thank You for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your good gifts. And Father, this morning as we look at Your Word, as we take a closer look, I pray that You encourage us, that You strengthen us, that we will be able to stand with You and on the rock of our confession. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and turn your Bible back over to Daniel. We're going to start in Daniel chapter 5. You know, last Sunday we talked about the fear, the spirit of fear that's all around us that we experience every day, and how God's presence and provision gives us the comfort and the strength that we need not to fall prey to that. Today, we're going to take a look at the positive impact of a fearless life. It is kind of strange that usually examples of fearlessness and usually examples of bravery inspire bravery in others. Now, we are in such a fun time that examples of bravery today do not inspire so much bravery around us as it does anger and hatred. But whatever it brings, whatever it leads to, we must not lose what God has given us. And so this morning I want us to take a look at an example of fearlessness. Daniel lived a fearless life of faith, and he lived a life of obedience to God in a hostile time and place. Everything we know about his story, everything that he experienced and went through, he was in a bad way. Daniel, he was taken to a foreign land. He was taken from his home. And the reason that foreign invaders were allowed to come in was because God said, well, I've given you, my people, time and time again to turn around, and you won't do it. And so I'm going to bring in some bad people to come in and do my will to bring you down and to humble you. You know in the Bible that some people were left behind, and some people, that's why we have the story of Jeremiah and Lamentations recording about those that were left behind. And then we have Daniel, who is one of those chosen, who was taken to a foreign land. He's now in a place where his faith and his religion are against the law. His faith and his religion are against the law. He served different rulers because one ruler came in and that ruler was put down, and then other rulers came in And so he had to navigate his life and his faith at a time of great upheaval. He's removed from his home. He's in a foreign culture. And he is under different rule. He was given great responsibilities. He's still given a job and a purpose to do. So he's not allowed to just, well, I'll just keep my head down and I'll just wait this out. But instead, his faith to God is rewarded and he is given responsibilities in this foreign kingdom. We may look at that and say, well, that is strange. Why would we want responsibilities in a foreign and a godless kingdom? Why would we want to have anything given to us or put in our lap beyond personal care? And that's the amazing thing about Daniel. That's the amazing thing about what God does in this story. That even though Daniel is under the threat of death, he survived death threats, he survived death sentence. And in all of that, he never forgot his responsibilities to the one that he served on earth, to the king, whoever was sitting on the throne at the time. Just like we read earlier this morning from Daniel chapter 6, that Daniel had the audacity to say, O king, live forever. I've never done anything to hurt you. I've never done anything to harm you. Daniel did not give up his faith, and Daniel was a faithful servant to whoever was above his life at the time. In Daniel chapter 5, we see that, Daniel gets called in to another king. And at this point in the story, he's brought to Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, you know that God humbled him and made him like an animal. And he had to go out in the field and he ate grass with the animals. And God basically said, look, if you don't humble yourself after what you've seen, I'm going to humble you. Well, Belshazzar comes in and he says, well, you know what? Now that I've got my father's seat and my father's place, I think I'll throw a party for all my friends and all the people around me. And let's just go ahead and bring in all that stuff that the Israelites use in their worship. Let's bring in their cups and their platters and all the things they use to worship their God. And let's fill them up with wine and let's have a party and let's get drunk and let's just use all that stuff for our purposes. Well, God shows up and he puts a message for Belshazzar, and Belshazzar's a little shaken by this. And so he calls in Daniel. And I'd like for us to pick this up in Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. Daniel's explaining to Belshazzar what happened to his dad. He says, but when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind. His mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all of this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed, and this is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parsin. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple. A chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Daniel says to Belshazzar, look, your dad had to learn the hard way. That God is the Most High. That God is above everyone. He puts rulers in place. He removes rulers. It doesn't matter how much power that you might gain in this life. God is still above everyone. Church, that's not just for those who are in positions of authority to be humble before God. It's also for us, for our faith. Daniel knew this to be true. He trusted it. He saw it with his own eyes, and so he was able to give glory to God because God is above anyone who would rule here on earth. I think that's one of the reasons that Daniel could live a fearless life. When you know who's truly in charge, you don't have to be afraid of a lesser power. And isn't that the message that Daniel gave Belshazzar? He said, if you don't humble yourself, God's going to humble you as well. He did for your dad. And in fact, well, the writing, the very message that God has sent you. He's looked at you, you've come up short. Your life has been weighed in the balances. And you're short. So God's bringing you to an end. Church, that's the very same message that Jesus is going to speak to a lot of people on Judgment Day. I've weighed your life. I've put your life on the scales, and you've come up short. It happened that very night. It happened that very night. But knowing that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom He will. Church, the discomfort or threats that we might face do not matter. We must be faithful to God. God sets everything where He wants it. Now I know we may lobby for a certain type of leader or a certain person to be in charge or certain things to go certain ways. But Daniel knew what all of us have to know is that God is still running things. God's still in charge. God is still in charge. And it's really wrong of us to question, isn't it? I mean, we like to. We somehow feel qualified. We look at things around us and say, well, this can't be what God wants. Do you think that those who lived in Israel who had foreign leaders come in and take all their good people, leave all their losers, ransack their city and their temples, and take all their precious things involved in their worship, remove them from them? Do you think that they might have looked up and said, well, God, this surely can't be what you want, right? This surely can't be who you want to be in charge. I mean, if anyone had reason to question God's plan in all of this, it would have been Jeremiah left at home, or it would have been Daniel in a foreign land. And yet Daniel, an example of faith, an example of strength, looks to God and looks to others and says, I'm going to follow God because God is still above all of you. It's an amazing example of faith. Let's go ahead a couple chapters. Let's take a look at Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, after the stories that we have in the first half of Daniel, we get Daniel really, instead of just being allowed to interpret dreams and understand God's handwriting on the wall, now God is sending him visions and messages directly for Daniel and for God's people. Daniel chapter 7, let's go down to verse 15. Daniel 7:15 says, as for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast. which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with his feet. And about the 10 horns that were left on its head, and the other horn that came up and before which 3 of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. So Daniel receives, you can go back and read the first half of chapter 7 to see all the great and terrible description of the beast that Daniel's able to see. He receives these visions and again, great and terrible things that he sees. And the message that he gets is God's people will be fought. God's people will be fought and they will lose. They will lose. That these beasts will prevail over them. That means God's people lose. That means they lose. Now, that is a scary vision, isn't it? That's not an exciting thing where God says, hey, this endeavor or your life, it's coming to an end. Or this is going to be changed or this is going to be taken away. We don't like loser talk. We like victory in Jesus, right? Yeah. Mansion, a robe, and a crown. We like streets of gold, and we like God coming through and saying, yes, I'm here to set things right. Well, that's the promise. That is the promise. The saints of the Most High God shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. That is the promise that we hold on to. God's kingdom is meant for us, and we're going to have it for all eternity. And then he said in verse 21, the horn makes war with the saints and prevails over them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. So the message to Daniel is that, look, while in this world, you are going to lose. That earthly powers are going to come against you and they are going to beat you. But God's promise is that you have an eternal kingdom. And once all is said and done, once judgment is proclaimed and the final word of God given over all of mankind, His kingdom is yours. And it will never be lost. Church, that is the message of hope that Daniel receives, that you and I hold on to, that we do not let go of. That is why Daniel could stand up to the king and say, it does not matter how you punish me. It does not matter what law you put into place. I will be faithful to God. It does not matter what punishment or death sentence you put on my life. I will be faithful to God because God is above all of you. And God has the final word. Church, there is no reason to fear with God because He is assured the victory. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus would talk about this kingdom. He's talking to Peter, and you know the story. He asks people, or he asks, what do people say about me? And then he asks Peter, what do you say about me? And in Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. You see, he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And church, this is the eternal question that every person who lives has to face. What do you say about Jesus? What is your answer to Jesus Christ? The appropriate answer is that He is the Son of the living God. Because if He has come from God, everything that He said and everything that He did is true. If he has brought to us the very presence from heaven, that he is to be believed and he is to be followed. And so Jesus takes that confession and he says, Peter, this confession that you make, that's the foundation of my church. That's the foundation of my church. And I make you this promise, the gates of hell shall not win over my church. Okay. Okay. Jesus says, hell will not win over the church. That's inspiring faith, isn't it? Scripture tells us that if God's enemies knew what would happen when Jesus was killed, that they wouldn't have killed him. That if they knew what God had planned, that Jesus was to die for the sins of the world, they would not have put him to death. The whole time that Jesus was here, he knew that his life was leading up to something, that it was going to be a sacrifice for all of us. And he also knew that God would restore him to eternity. Church, we have that very same promise. Our life is a sacrifice. Our life is a sacrifice to God. We made the confession. We took up our own cross and we said, I believe God. I believe his ways are better and superior to the ways of man. I believe that anything that anyone might come up with down here is way below and way inferior to what God is doing. So I will trust God. And God has called me to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Jesus himself told us that if you follow in my footsteps, they're going to treat you badly. He says, if they treat me this way, how do you think they're going to treat you? And knowing this going in, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid because it doesn't matter what power hell will throw at us, it does not win. It doesn't matter what the world may call casualties or how much pain and suffering, hell will not prevail. Hell will not prevail. And then he says to his disciples, I have given you the keys to the kingdom. Jerry read for us in 2 Peter. This reminder that Peter gives to the church. And just like Daniel told Belshazzar, he starts his message with him and says, look, you saw how God humbled your dad. You saw it with your own eyes. We were all here. Your dad is king. God takes his mind. And then he's living out in the fields with the animals. You saw God do that. And you did not humble yourself. You saw God's power, and you did not humble yourself. And Peter kind of picks up the same idea, and he says to everyone, he says, look, you remember how God destroyed the world with water. You've seen it. Do you really not think that God is God over his own creation? Do you really not think that God can just take care of it whenever he needs? He's done it before. The last time he did it with water. You've never seen a raindrop before. It didn't exist. It didn't exist. And yet God said, rain. And all the water above the earth fell down. And all the jets within the sea rose up. And water covered everything. Covered everything. Now, that's an interesting thing as you get into Peter's thing. One of my favorite things about that is to understand this idea of destruction. Because, you know, this is just a side between you and me. Because a lot of people believe that when Jesus returns and all these things are coming with fire instead of water, we see destruction as in the absence of existing. Right? That's how we view destruction. But Peter says, and he uses the same word there, he says it was destroyed with water. Next, it's going to be destroyed with fire. Not destroyed in the sense of no longer there, but destroyed in the sense of cleansed, starting over, rewritten. Because that's how you make way for new heavens and new earth. You take the existing earth and the existing sky and the existing heavens and all the stars that are in them and you melt them. You refine them. And so that's this comparison that Peter makes. And Peter says, look, all of you need to hold on to your confession because you know that God can do this, that he can cleanse his creation anytime he wants. And he's going to again. He's done it before, he's shown you, and now he's going to do it again. The world is going to face judgment day. And just like those in the world did not escape the floodwaters, they will not escape the fires. So what do we do with that? Well, we don't get scared. We don't read this message and kind of have the same reaction that those in the world have of, well, why should I follow a God that would threaten such things? Here, put yourself into this situation. Let's just say that the threat was more immediate. Okay? Hypothetical. Someone has you at gunpoint. They have your life in their hands and they say, do this. No one's going to look at them and say, no, I don't think I will. You don't have any authority over me. Well, that's how people talk about God. Well, why would I listen to and follow someone who would just destroy people? Right? What? Why would I possibly follow someone that has that much power? Why wouldn't you follow someone that has all that power? You absolutely would. And that's what Peter is talking about here. He says God has given the warnings and he's going to do the same thing in a different way. He is going to fulfill his promise. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient. God is not just making threats to get you and I to follow him and live our lives for him. He is giving us warnings to let us know what is coming. He is saying, I love you so much and I want you to be protected because here it is coming and I want you to be safe from that. It's going to be cleansed. It's going to be refined. It's going to be made right. And I want you to be a part of that and not destroyed by that. Okay. So we believe you. We put our faith in you. We've made our confession. So how do we live this fearless life? And he says in verse 11, here it is. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be? Okay, so if this is the case, if this is really what God is going to do, if this is the power that he has and the plan that he has set in motion, how should you and I live our lives? In holiness and godliness. That's how we live our lives. We live our lives set apart from the mundane things of this earth. We live our lives in the example that Jesus has set for us. We live our lives according to his will, his purposes, because they are so much greater than anything we could come up with ourselves. That's how we live our lives. That's how we live a fearless life of faith that makes a difference in the world around us. That's what Daniel did. It didn't matter what was going on around him. Daniel didn't have to get in people's faces. Daniel didn't have to yell the loudest. In fact, he didn't really do much yelling. He just lived his faith no matter what was going on around him. He was never afraid to hide it. And I love that story that his reaction to to the law being put into place of, hey, if you worship God, you're going to die. Daniel said, well, I mean, what's your response to that? I guess I better go worship God. A fearless life. God calls us to holiness and godliness. Let's go back a couple chapters in 2 Peter. I'll wrap it up here. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's how we better do this. Here's how we do this better. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will not fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Peter says, if you want to live this life of holiness and godliness that we are called to live, if we understand and believe the promises of God, the fact that the Most High is above all things in His creation, if we want to be faithful to Him, if we want to live out our faith, just as Daniel did, just as David did, just as so many, as Paul and Peter and so many before us, if we want to live out our faith and make every effort to take that faith that we have in here, that faith that we confess here, and build upon it. Build upon it. Keep adding these things of virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Because if these things are in our lives and they are growing each and every day, then we won't be ineffective in the kingdom. And we don't want to be ineffective in the kingdom. We don't want to be ineffective in the kingdom. We want to be effective in God's kingdom. It's not enough for us to just say, well, I have the good news of Jesus, so bring the fire, Lord. That's not what He called us to. He called us to be a part of His eternal kingdom, and He called us to live and to share the good news of Jesus. He called us to be a part of what He is doing. He called us to not only look to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. He called us to be like Jesus, to care enough about those around us that we are finally brought to the place of love. And just like Daniel, our lives must not be unfruitful. Working in God's eternal kingdom is the greatest purpose we could have. You've been made a part of the only thing that will last. So it's time to work. It's time we realize our citizenship. It's time we realize the immense responsibility and wonderful opportunities that God has given us. It's time we rely upon not ourselves, not our own talents and gifts, but upon the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God provides. Kingdom, eternal purposes, and kingdom, eternal power. That's the good God's done for us. So let's live faithful this week. Let's trust not in anything else but in God alone. Let's remember who saved us, and let's remember who we serve. If you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to be one. If you are a Christian this morning, this week, reaffirm your faith. Reaffirm your faith. Because when you reaffirm your faith to God, it reminds your heart whose you are and what you need to be. So if you need any help in doing that, if you need the prayers of the church, if you just need to let people know that, hey, I'm struggling and I need to be lifted up in your thoughts and prayers. I'm having a hard time. I'm scared, or my faith has been weak. Let us know, because we're in this together. We're in this together. None of us has to stand alone. So if you need prayers, if you need anything, we're here. God is here. Let's stand together and sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call away. Come for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come for he bled for you and I. He was the same loving Savior yet. Jesus went crucified. Casting your heavy burden down. Come to the cross, so world may crown. Yet you shall wear a glorious crown when he makes up his own. Only a step, only a step. Come for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate. Locked was for you. Now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. Come for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus, the
just a few announcements this morning, and a few things that we need to keep in our prayers. Need to remember Brandon Arthur. He hurt his back this past week at work, and I think he's in a lot of pain. And just need to pray that he gets some healing and some relief from that. Also, the Sanders and the Nixons are gone. They're passing a stomach bug around, so pray for healing for them. And also, just need to remember Charlie, and hope that she can find a different job and a little bit better work for her. Just help out with their family. So, is there anything else that I might have missed? Anything else we need to mention? All right. Yes. Okay. You said it, Angie Crawford?
Athena
Crawford. Okay. We'll remember Athena Crawford and her angiogram coming up. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, come before you. Thank you for today, and I just thank you for this time that we get to come together and just study your word and sing praises to you. Lord, I just lift up Brandon right now. Just please be with him and just heal his back. I pray that you just give him the comfort and the healing that he needs. Lord, just be with the Arthurs and the Nixons and just heal them from the stomach bug that's going around, and just bring them complete healing very, very soon. Lord, please be with Charlie and Chester just in different job decisions. And I pray that you just give her the work that she needs and the schedule that she needs just to be with her family, Father. Lord, I lift up Athena. Please be with her and in her upcoming angiogram. I pray that reveals some things that she and the doctors need to know. And I pray that you just give her complete healing in that, Lord. And just be with us as we go out this week. I pray that we just be bold and just be faithful in you. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.